Hello, and welcome to Season 4 of the Fashion Law Network podcast. I'm your host, Kasia Zabrowska-Traubin, a patent attorney and fashion enthusiast based in Los Angeles, California. Join me as I break down legal cases, discuss recent fashion news, and demystify patent law. Hello, and welcome to Season 4, Episode 7 of the Fashion Law Network podcast. I hope you guys are having a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in. This episode will be a little different than my usual episode format. I'm going to discuss the current retail climate, namely among luxury department stores. There have been some really surprising changes and developments happening. Now, if you're a regular listener to this podcast series, I'm sure you'll remember my episode from Season 1. It was titled Fall from Retail Royalty Neiman Marcus. It's my most listened to episode to date, and it's even been quoted in a few newspaper articles. Now, in that episode, I discussed and analyzed the seeming demise of department stores. This was back in the summer of 2020, height of COVID. Every time I read the news, I would hear of another retailer, luxury department store going out of business or declaring bankruptcy. However, now, almost 2 years later, we're seeing that department stores are experiencing a boom. This is pretty unexpected, considering what was even happening 1 year ago. There was major reshuffling, reinventing, and some additional bankruptcy filings of major luxury department stores in the United States. For example, in 2020, Barney's was the first to go. They filed for bankruptcy, shut down all their stores. Nordstrom closed a bunch of stores. JCPenney filed for bankruptcy in May of 2020, and they said in their court documents that pandemic-related disruptions pushed it over the edge. And then, of course, the big one, Neiman Marcus, was actually the first major department store to file for bankruptcy protection during COVID. They filed for a Chapter 11 bankruptcy on May 7th of 2020. Now, just by way of quick bankruptcy law, a Chapter 11 bankruptcy is a reorganization. And you guys may have heard some stores filing for a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. And that's different. That's like a liquidation. So in a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, everything in the company is sold off and then the proceeds go to the creditors. So Chapter 7 bankruptcy is a pretty bleak option, but sometimes it's necessary where the business just totally goes out of business and the banks have lent the bankrupt company over the years a lot of money, and they're probably not likely to get their money back in a Chapter 7. So typically for everybody involved, a Chapter 11 bankruptcy is preferred. This is because the lenders want to get paid back, and the best way of doing this is by having the business continue to operate and make a profit. So in a Chapter 11, you typically get a company restructure its debts and obligations while they remain open, at least temporarily. And then if everything goes well, you exit the Chapter 11. So this is actually what happened with Neiman's. They ended up exiting their Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And that's if a plan for operating the business is agreed upon or a sale is reached. And of course, courts always want businesses to succeed. So the reorganization Chapter 11 is preferred versus the liquidation. It's better for the economy. People don't lose their jobs. You don't have, you know, all the empty storefronts. And of course, the creditors continue getting paid. So also, just because your favorite brand filed for bankruptcy doesn't necessarily mean that its operations are going to change. And if it weren't on the news, you might not even notice any changes. For example, with the Neiman Marcus bankruptcy filing, I don't think any of the stores closed here in Los Angeles. I think they only closed some of their outlet last call stores. One luxury store that's been on my radar recently has been Saks Fifth Avenue. Saks has been in the news recently due to their major success and boom in sales. And this is not easy because Saks is, of course, in a never-ending battle for the luxury market share with similar companies like Neiman's, but also major contenders like Mytheresa, Farfetch, and Moda Operandi. And on a local level here in Los Angeles, we only have one Saks store and only four in the whole state of California. The one right in Los Angeles is in Beverly Hills. It's on Wilshire Boulevard, And it's a large store. It's really old on the inside, though. If you've ever been there, it looks like it hasn't been updated since the 80s or 90s with these really creaky old single-file escalators that I'm always afraid will break while I'm on them. And they connect to floors, and I think there's 7 or 8 floors. It's a very large store. And rumor has it around here that, and this rumor comes from some of my Rodeo Drive sales associate friends, that Saks is going to be moving into the old Barney's space in Beverly Hills on Wilshire. It's one block up. It's basically right at the cross street of Rodeo Drive and Wilshire, across the street from the famous Beverly Wilshire Hotel. So that huge, huge former Barney space will be so much nicer. It was beautiful inside back when it was Barney. So perhaps now that Saks didn't invest in any renovations in their old store, maybe they'll invest a little bit more into the Barney's store, get it a little bit more updated, even though there's probably not that much to do there. And this kind of makes sense because Authentic Brands Group bought the Barney's brand when they went through the bankruptcy, and they ended up licensing it to Saks. And Saks Fifth Avenue is, of course, a super famous American luxury department store. It's been around since the 1920s. So this is a good time to go over some brief history of Saks. And there's a really nice history timeline on the Saks.com website. So I just pulled a few relevant facts from there. So Saks Fifth Avenue was the brainchild of Horace Saks and Bernard Gimbel, and they operated independent retail stores in New York City in the early 1900s. Their dream was to construct a unique specialty store that would be synonymous with fashionable and gracious living. The combined financial input of these two families led to the purchase of a site between 49th and 50th Street on Upper Fifth Avenue in New York City. And then they opened their dream store, which was Saks Fifth Avenue, in 1924. The merging of the Saks and Gimbel families resulted in more than just a construction of Saks Fifth Avenue. 30-year-old Adam Gimbel became Horace Saks's assistant, and Horace died suddenly in 1926, so that made Adam Gimbel become president of Saks Fifth Avenue. Adam established the Saks brand to be an empire. He was the one who kind of brought the stores from coast to coast, and then he retired in 1969. In 1972, between 1972 and 1989, 20 new stores opened throughout the United States, many in Texas and the Midwest, and 8 stores were replaced by newer ones in the same markets. In 1974, Saks Fifth Avenue was acquired by a company called BATUS. And then in late 1994, Saks took a huge initiative to intensify its presence over on the West Coast by acquiring 4 former iMagnon stores. I've never heard of that store, but I guess they had outposts in Beverly Hills, Carmel, San Diego, and Phoenix. And in 1995, they opened Saks West in Beverly Hills, and Saks Fifth Avenue became Beverly Hills's largest specialty store. And like I mentioned earlier, that store is still enormous compared to even all the other department stores up on that little corner of Wilshire. Then the next big item here was in 1996 when Saks Fifth Avenue became a public company as Saks Holding Inc. The initial public offering was completed with 16 million shares outstanding, and it traded its shares on the New York Stock Exchange under the symbol SKS. Then let's skip to summer of 2000 when Saks Fifth Avenue launched Saks.com. And it's hard to believe that e-commerce has only really been around for 15, 20 years now. On November 4th, 2013, Saks Incorporated was acquired by HBC, which stands for Hudson's Bay Company. And that's a holding company of portfolio businesses that operate a lot of retail and real estate companies. And just on a side note, this Hudson's Bay company has a really interesting backstory too. It's actually one of the oldest companies in the whole world. It was established back in the 1960s, and it used to be a fur trading business with a past that's entwined with the colonization of British North America and development of Canada. In Canada, there's a department store called The Bay after this Hudson's Bay company. It's very Canadian. They have these like blue, red, and yellow stripes that are really synonymous with the Bay Company. But then in 2006, an American businessman, Jerry Zucker, bought the HBC company for $1.1 billion. And then recently in 2021, HBC partnered with Insight Partners to establish Saks Fifth Avenue's e-commerce business as a standalone company known as Saks.com. They basically split the Saks Fifth Avenue company as one entity, and the e-commerce site Saks.com is like a whole separate entity. And according to APnews.com, in November of 2021, the number of styles that Saks sells is up 40%. Number of brands available has increased by 30%. They're also ramping up kids' clothing, home furnishings, activewear, and they have very fast delivery. And behind all these changes is the current president, or the previous president and CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, Mark Metrick. He's now CEO of Saks.com. And the CEO says that the standalone company, with new financing means, the business can grow bigger and faster. And Saks.com now has 1 million visits a day, up from 500,000 just 2 years ago. So amazing growth here. Sales on total value of merchandise rose 80% on Saks.com. Store sales increased 30%. So that's interesting by how much more the e-commerce site is getting in sales compared to the actual store. And I know I've said this before, but I will never fully embrace e-commerce luxury shopping. I love going to the store, trying things on, the experience of purchasing in store. That's, I don't think, is ever going to change for me. Now, the changes are happening as online shopping really exploded during the pandemic. Even for some really high-priced luxury items, a lot of shoppers didn't want to go to the brick-and-mortar stores. And here in Los Angeles, of course, we actually had a shutdown of, I think, almost every store except grocery stores and pharmacies for at least 3-4 months at the beginning of the pandemic in 2020. Online sales rose 21%. And overall luxury sales nearly doubled for the first 9 months of this year. So that's interesting. In general, AP News says that it seems that many luxury stores which saw a standstill or decline are now experiencing a boom. Of course, you know, my opinion, this isn't anything groundbreaking, but obviously people are returning to offices, they're going out more, and people want to get dressed up. I know I do. And I did so much online shopping during the long lockdowns here in LA, and finally I have a chance to wear all my purchases, so I'm very happy. Now let's switch gears and discuss patents and trademarks. So if you're a regular listener to this podcast series, you will already have heard this intro into patent law many, many times, so please feel free to fast forward this part about a minute to 90 seconds. So a patent is a form of intellectual property that gives its owner the legal right to exclude others from making, using, or selling the invention for a certain amount of years, and that's in exchange for publishing a public disclosure of the invention. And to get a patent granted, your invention must be novel and unobvious. And you can even patent something that already exists as long as the improvement that you made to it yields unexpected results. The hallmark example of this so-called improvement patent is, for example, Thomas Edison didn't really invent the light bulb, but he did significantly improve upon the technology of the light bulb by developing one that used a lower current of electricity and an improved vacuum inside the globe of the light bulb, among a few other things. And Edison's light bulb invention lasted 40 to 60 hours versus only a few hours as the time as were with the original light bulbs before he improved upon them. There are three types of patents: utility patents, which protects the way something works. For example, the mechanism of a novel pump on a cosmetic item, for example. And then you have a design patent, which protects the ornamental nature of your invention only. So the shape or look of a bag, maybe the way the strap is configured. And the third type of patent is a plant patent. It's relatively rare. This is a patent granted to a person who has created or discovered new and distinct asexually propagated plants. Obviously, it does not come up in the fashion context very often. And in looking up the Saks brand on the United States Patent and Trademark Patent Database, I do not see any patents owned by the brand, which is not unusual because many department stores change ownerships. And one interesting exception is Neiman Marcus, who owns various patents, some utility patents, such as one titled Merchandise Display Case and System. And then they also have a design patent for the merchandise display case. So the design patent in this case protects the ornamental nature of that display case only. And then Neiman's is even more unique in that they also own a plant patent for a rose hybrid plant. Now let's move on to trademarks. A trademark is a symbol, word, or words that are legally registered or established by use as representing a company or a product. And trademarks are, there are two types of trademarks, character or word marks and logo marks. Word marks protect the actual word, the brand name of the company or product. So in our example, using Saks Fifth Avenue, it would just be the word Saks Fifth Avenue. And then the logo is the symbol associated with the company. So it can also be like a stylized font. So here, Saks Fifth Avenue has a logo mark or a standardized character mark, also called for their Saks Fifth Avenue name. They kind of write it in this really fancy script. So I looked up the Saks Fifth Avenue brand on the United States Patent and Trademark Database. And I found a really interesting new trademark application that they just filed the other month on March 11, 2022, under the intent to use basis, meaning that they're not using the mark in commerce just yet with the categories that it's listed under. And the mark is listed under some really hot topic categories in the metaverse and NFT realm. So this new application is listed under five different categories. So the Saks Fifth Avenue name is, they're attempting to get a trademark for cosmetics, non-medicated facial moisturizers, toner, serum, skin cleansers. So that's interesting because I don't recall a cosmetic line ever being made by Saks, by like the Saks Fifth Avenue brand itself. Then another category the brand is seeking registration in is herbal supplements, food supplements, dietary nutritional supplements. So I foresee this as being kind of like that Hummingbird company where they have capsules of collagen and different beauty supplements. Then we have the longest category description I think I've ever seen. It's related to apps and it encompasses things like digital media, digital collectibles, digital tokens, NFTs, digital art, NFTs featuring digital art, blockchain technology, and much, much more. It's literally like about 100 lines. Then another category for the same application is for online retail services featuring virtual goods. So things like sale of virtual goods in a virtual marketplace, crypto collectibles, blockchain-based NFTs. Then the next category is providing an internet website portal offering information in the fields of real estate concerning the purchase and sale of virtual real estate in the metaverse. So that's interesting. I don't think I've ever come across a trademark under that category before. And then the next category, this is the fourth one, is entertainment services, providing online general consumer merchandise of luxury goods, branded merchandise for use in virtual environments. Also game software, online video games. So that's interesting. Maybe Saks is going to be coming out with some virtual shopping game. And then the last category under this trademark application is providing temporary use of non-downloadable software for uploading, modifying, sharing, viewing, and communicating virtual reality content in an augmented reality world. So that's interesting. It sounds like I'm picturing this as being one of these shopping services, like through those virtual reality goggles that people have maybe. And then they also have personal stylist services. And this says in-person and virtual personal wardrobe styling services. So obviously it sounds like Saks Fifth Avenue is really embracing the whole metaverse world. Okay, now let's move on to a couple lawsuits that Saks Fifth Avenue has been involved with. They're not intellectual property based, but they are pretty interesting nonetheless. So the first one is Giordano versus Saks Inc. from the Eastern District of New York, U.S. District Court. And according to BloombergQuint.com, Saks, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, and other luxury retailers were accused in a lawsuit of agreeing to not hire sales clerks from each other's stores in violation of U.S. antitrust law. These companies allegedly conspired to enter into no-hire agreements that prohibit them from hiring employees who have worked within 6 months for rival brands, according to the complaint that was filed in this lawsuit. One Saks sales clerk stated that she learned of the arrangement when she emailed a Louis Vuitton store manager in search of a new job. Unfortunately, we have an agreement with Saks that we cannot take their employees and have to wait 6 months before hiring, the manager replied, according to the complaint. So that's interesting. I did not know that that happened. And I'll be keeping my eye on this lawsuit, and I will let you guys know of any further developments. And then we have one more very recent lawsuit that Saks is involved in as a defendant. This was from January of this year, 2022. And according to Page Six, Saks is sued by a hair salon for $75 million over alleged co-working plan at their flagship store. So Saks is being sued by Joel Warren. He's the co-founder of a celebrity salon chain called Warren Trichomi. And Warren, the hairstylist, alleges that things went downhill when the department store reneged on a 2017 agreement to open a state-of-the-art flagship salon on the 10th floor inside of the Saks Fifth Avenue store. Warren alleges in the court documents that his deal did not work out when Saks instead pivoted last year to turn his planned salon space into a new co-working venture. Back in 2017, it was announced that Warren would create a new salon concept for various Saks locations, including a big space at its Midtown flagship. However, Warren alleges in the court documents that Saks's subsequent high-profile decision to lease prime space to WeWork last year is in clear violation of its existing contractual obligations to him. So we'll keep an eye on that lawsuit too, and we'll see whether the Warren Trichomi salon ends up going into that space. And that concludes this episode. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. Please come back in a few weeks for my next episode. It's going to be a good one. Hope you have a wonderful day. Bye.